Hello and welcome into a new Wolves podcast here on Score North. This one's going to be a little bit different with myself, Danny Cunningham, and Manny Hill. Normally on our podcast, we just talk general Wolves basketball, NBA things that are going on around the league, but we want to have a little bit of fun with this one. We want to talk about some speculatory moves that could be made. We want to essentially put ourselves in the shoes of a GM, maybe of the Wolves, or maybe of some other teams. So what better name for a podcast like this than Show of Hands?
Thank you. I don't know, Show of Hands. Show of Hands.
That obviously is the voice of the esteemed David Kahn. That's where we got the name. A little backstory on that. What year was that after? Do you remember, Manny?
That was after his second season as the president of basketball operations, because Kurt Rambis had been the coach for 2 years. So this would have been at the end of the 2011 season. I think they had like one game left in the season.
So he was asked by someone in the media if he felt that the Wolves had more talent at that point than when he took over 2 years prior to that. So his answer to that question was?
I don't know, show of hands. Show of hands.
Amazing. There could not have been a better answer. I don't know, show of hands. Asking the media for their opinion on a question that he didn't want to answer.
What do you guys think?
And no one raised their hand, clearly, because he wouldn't have asked twice.
Right.
That has to be one of the most awkward moments in just press conference history. Show of hands. Show of hands.
It is basically the moment that defined David Kahn's time as the president of basketball operations for the Wolves.
It made him legendary.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he's not legendary.
For all the wrong reasons.
He's not legendary in a good way, but he's legendary, and there's no other way to say it.
I have said several times that he is the worst front office executive in the history, not just in NBA history, in the history of sports.
Legendary.
Now, I'm a little biased because of the connection with the Wolves, obviously, but it was bad, man.
I don't know. Who else thinks that? Show of hands? Show of hands?
I don't know. Show of hands. Show of hands.
So what we want to get into here is moves that the Wolves could make now in the future, how the play on the court affects future moves that could be made, such as one of the things I want to get into on today's episode one is how the recent play of Cade Bates-Diop filling in for Andrew Wiggins affects our view of Andrew Wiggins. Not that any of us really have a good view of him right now, but I think that there are some interesting things, and maybe the Wolves should be more apt to try and move off of that contract sooner than later, just because you can see what you can plug into that spot and how different it looks, whether shutting down Cat after that knee injury, which doesn't appear to be serious, would be the right move, or how much friction that could cause, but things like that. And we're going to, at least for the next 2 months, have an update on where the Wolves sit in the draft standings, and that'll be courtesy of tankathon.com, which is once again one of my favorite websites, and I've expressed that on past episodes. But the first thing I do want to get into is the Karl-Anthony Towns injury from this past weekend. If you missed it on Saturday night, he pulled himself out of the game with under a minute left in regulation of the overtime win over the Washington Wizards with a knee injury, got an MRI, it came back relatively clean. The Wolves aren't worried about any long-term ramifications with it. Didn't play on Sunday night. It was the third game that he's missed in his career. Sunday night, Manny, was actually the first game since April 16th of 2014 that neither Karl-Anthony Towns or Andrew Wiggins played in.
And that was also the last time that Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, neither one of them were even on the roster.
Yes. Karl-Anthony Towns was still in high school at this point. Andrew Wiggins was at Kansas. That's how long it had been. And to their credit, they found a way to get a win against a really bad Knicks team. Like that, honestly, that might have been the second worst basketball game that I've watched. And I've probably watched around 300 NBA games this season. And the only game that comes to mind worse than that one was Cavs-Bulls on Martin Luther King Day.
Now, how many of those bad games included the New York Knicks in the last handful of years, would you say?
It's up there. They've just been so bad. But I haven't. They're not a team that I make a point to watch for obvious reasons. Like, right. I will watch them once a month and wash my hands and be done with it. Because why would you subject yourself to watching that more than once a month unless you absolutely have to? But it was just a bad game. But it was good to see them be able to figure it out without Karl-Anthony Towns. It was good to see Taj step up. Jeff Teague had a good game. But without Towns, they look like a really, really bad team. Like, they're going to be able to beat teams like the Knicks because the Knicks don't have an interest in winning that game. They're trying for Zion. But do you think that being, I think that they need to be extra cautious with him. I think that there's no way.
With Cap?
Yes, with Carl. Yeah. There's no way they can allow him back on the floor until he is absolutely 100% healthy, right?
Yeah, no, I've said it a million times, and I'll keep saying it until there's some sort of obvious circumstance that says otherwise. Carl Anthony Towns is the most important person, player, entity of this franchise, and you cannot do anything that is going to jeopardize the long-term interests of him as your cornerstone piece of your franchise. I mean, and at this point, when you look at where the Wolves are at right now in the standings, they're not going to make the playoffs. We've said that ad nauseum for weeks now. Yeah, they're right in the middle. They're not going to make the playoffs. So any idea of trying to play him when he's not 100% because you're trying to make the playoffs, if the Wolves were in the mix for a playoff spot, then I could kind of see them maybe being a little bit more.
Yeah,
it's a different situation. But right now, they're not going to go to the playoffs. So make sure he is 100% healthy before you even think of putting him back on the floor.
And going with that, because I agree that there's no reason to play him unless he is absolutely 100% healthy, absolutely no ramifications with that knee injury. You have to worry about creating friction between him and the franchise, because it's no secret what he's chasing right now. His goal, aside from winning games with the Wolves, which is he's always going to say, but his personal goal is to make the All-NBA team, because mm-hmm. that comes with a bunch more money in his next contract.
31 or 32 more million dollars on the contract?
I believe it is $32 million. Mm-hmm. He would make 158 over the next five if he does not make All-NBA, which would be the third team. First two team spots are locked up between Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid.
Yep.
So there's no way he's making one of the first two, but the third spot is very much up for grabs between him and Rudy Gobert. So if he doesn't play for an extended period of time, that edge starts to go to Gobert. And if Towns makes the All-NBA team, gets $190 million over the next 5 years. So that's a big chunk of change for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I could understand the Wolves are in a very, they have to be very careful with this situation. It has to be handled correctly, because you don't want to risk injury. You don't want to let him risk injury, because if he gets hurt, then yeah, he doesn't make the All-NBA team. But then the rest of your franchise could go up in flames.
I wonder if there needs to be a conversation behind the scenes between management and Carl Anthony Towns about this specific situation.
There does need to be, I think.
There absolutely has to be. And the other side of that coin, too, is, okay, well, who is going to be in the front office beyond this season?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if you're in that Wolves front office right now and your future is sort of up in the air right now, are you even the right person to have this sort of conversation with Kat about?
And that's where it gets more interesting, and that's why I think the Wolves aren't tanking, because they're not actively trying to lose games, because they've got Ryan Saunders, who as an interim coach is trying to win games because he wants to have the interim tag removed next season. You've got Scott Layden, who I think that the limited moves he can make at this point in the season, there's just really not moves to make, so he's kind of sitting on his hands. But the Cam Reynolds 10-day signing has turned out well for them so far.
Some good minutes.
Yeah, he's done some good things. I mean, I don't expect him to be a part of the future by any means, but he's done stuff on the floor, and
they've needed bodies, and he's provided that.
Yeah, so credit to Scott Layden for that signing, I suppose, but there's not really much else he could do. But that's why it becomes interesting, because you want to win games to save your job, and the best way to do that is by playing Carl Anthony Towns, because he's the best player in the franchise by far.
Yeah, they're in a really strange spot, because the people involved want to win games, but at the same time, you and I have had this conversation about what's in the best interest of the long term for this franchise.
Yeah.
And for me, I look at it like this. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Nope.
So they need to try and get as high a draft pick as they possibly can. And because I think when you have this type of situation you have with Kat, you have a cornerstone piece of your franchise, you need to try your damnedest to pair him with another potential cornerstone piece, or at least someone who is maybe a step below him in terms of being a cornerstone piece, but you need another good player.
You need someone close to his level of talent.
Yes.
If Carl Anthony Towns is going to be an NBA champion as a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, you need another you need someone very close in talent to Carl Anthony Towns, and they've struck out on Wiggins. Like, I'm fairly confident in saying that Andrew Wiggins is never going to be that guy, and we'll dive into him a little bit coming up, because I've got some interesting things as far as just that position, that the way it's viewed across the league. But the biggest thing with Carl is you don't want to upset him, because it could have future ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
These little things, they tend to stick with players. I'm not saying that it would or wouldn't with Carl, because that's up to Carl. It's not up to me. It's not up to anyone else. But if you look at a situation like in Utah with Gordon Hayward, what happened the first time he hit free agency? He didn't get the deal Carl got, but the Jazz let him test the market. And then there was always that little
bit. Was it Charlotte that threw the offer sheet at him something like that?
I forget who threw one at him.
I thought it might have been Charlotte.
I know Cleveland did too.
Mm-hmm.
But Cleveland held off on it because of that was a LeBron summer.
Yeah.
Like Kyrie in Cleveland was under the assumption that they were getting Channing Frye and Gordon Hayward and someone else that summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was excited about the possibility of leading the franchise in Cleveland with those guys around him. And that would have been a talented group. It wouldn't have been what they were. And then LeBron came back and the Cavs front office
changed everything.
Was like, sorry. And I mean, they
made everyone, the right move.
Everyone
it was
would
the right
have
decision.
Been, yes,
yeah.
You would have been out of your mind to not do that. But and Utah would have matched Hayward no matter what, as they did. But then when it comes time for that next contract, there's always going to be that little bit in the back of your mind, and that's going to stick with. And maybe I'm not saying Hayward does or doesn't leave Utah if that doesn't happen, but I think the chances are a little bit better of him staying in Utah. And you don't want that situation with Carl. There are two situations you want to avoid with him. You want to avoid Anthony Davis's situation, and you want to avoid Gordon Hayward's situation.
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring that up, because, and it's interesting that sort of, the side talker of this podcast is David Kahn. David Kahn was the one who gave Kevin Love that first post-rookie deal contract, and it was not a max contract, because everybody assumed that David Kahn wanted to save that max slot for Ricky Rubio, and he ended up giving Kevin Love, I think it was 4 years and $62 million or something like that, which at the time was a bigger deal, but it wasn't the max. It wasn't the max contract that Kevin Love wanted.
And I remember that because Kevin's first year in Cleveland, it was his final year of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in the Cleveland media to then Cavaliers head coach David Blatt called Kevin a max player. And Blatt stopped him and goes, "Kevin's not a max player." And I'm like, "You seriously said that about your third star? Like, why would you do?" And Blatt was someone that had no idea how to deal with the press in the NBA. And I'm sure the press, because he coached overseas for forever, essentially.
Yeah.
I'm sure the press there was a little bit different than it is here, and especially in this league. But he had no idea how to deal with it. And that was one of his biggest mistakes. And there were a lot of everyone pins Blatt getting fired on LeBron, and LeBron and him didn't necessarily see eye to eye.
But there were other things that led up to that.
It was far more than just LeBron that wanted him gone. LeBron was not the only one that thought a different head coach was the answer. If there were 15 guys in that locker room, I would say probably 12 or 13 of them thought that someone else was the answer. Like, it was not, and it's all, LeBron's a coach killer, whatever. But when you say that about Kevin Love, how could Kevin Love like him?
That's how a guy is 30-11 and atop the East.
And gets fired, yes.
And gets fired.
Yes. And and you know what? He's got David Kahn to thank.
Yeah. I remember that when he got, and Love did the sit down with Woj.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how, you know, he was just not happy about how things were going. And he talked about how upset he was about them, the Wolves essentially pulling the plug on, and this was a David Kahn move, pulling the plug on the Al Jefferson, Kevin Love front court combination.
Sure.
And, you know, Kevin's whole deal was just like, well, everybody kept saying it wasn't going to work. There's no way it could work. But we never really got an opportunity to see if it would work, because Al Jefferson got hurt in Kevin Love's rookie year. He tore his ACL, missed half the season, and all of that. So they had that one season to play together, but they never got that opportunity.
It wasn't enough time.
There wasn't enough time to really see, like, can these two you know, can it really work out? Now, personally, I don't think it would have worked out.
David Kahn was in the wrong with a lot of things. I'm not sure that that was one of them.
Right. But that was one of the things that Kevin Love talked about being upset about.
But it's, and you don't want that to repeat itself with Carl.
No.
That is the nightmare for this organization, is for Carl Anthony Towns to have that type of situation. Now, granted, he's on a max contract, unlike Kevin Love. So thank you, David Kahn, for that. But
they're going to be walking a fine line.
It's
this
a
summer,
very
man.
Fine line.
It's a fine line, man, because you want them to get a high draft pick as possible, but you don't.
Do you want to do the tankathon update right now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
All right, so right now the Wolves are sitting in 13th in the lottery standings. They're a game and a half behind 12th. And I'm going to do this as if the leader is the New York Knicks at first. So games back, that's how far they are from the next place. The Wolves are in 13th. They've got a 4.8% chance of landing a top four pick.
That ain't high enough.
These two wins this past weekend killed their tanking chances, especially against Washington, because the Wizards are sitting at 27-39, but they still have dreams of making the Eastern Conference playoffs, no matter how those dreams may be fading. They are dreaming of getting into that 8th seed.
Well, I mean, I guess they're only...
And you know what? Memphis is trying to climb, too.
They're only a couple back in the loss column of their division, so...
I know. And Memphis is trying to climb, or slip, I guess, because Memphis wants that pick to convey to Boston this year. They don't want that hanging over their head. It's top six protected, or top eight protected, so they're trying to get to 9.
So they don't want to keep their pick?
No, they want to send it to Boston. They want it to be 9th and just get this over with.
Oh, okay.
That's why they're sense. I mean, they've won 3 in a row, and that's why they're playing Mike Conley. They're trying to win games. They're not trying for Zion here. They want to win games and just get that pick done and be able to really go into their rebuild next year. So that's an interesting thing, too. Not that the Wolves could surpass them, because Memphis is sitting at 28-40, and it would take they're 5 games back in the loss column.
Yeah.
But getting to 9 or 10.
Ninth
is the biggest one, because that's where that huge jump is. 10th right now has an 11.7 chance at a top four. 9th's got a 20.3. That's the huge jump. If you could get to 9th, but it doesn't look good after this last weekend because you won those two games. Now you've got Orlando, Charlotte, LA, and New Orleans between. Well, New Orleans is 9th, and those other 3 teams are between them and the Wolves.
So what you're saying is the Wolves need to play the Grizzlies like 7 more times.
And just let the Grizzlies win all of them. Just let the Grizzlies win all of them. Which they might anyways, because the Wolves struggle against Memphis.
Yeah, they always do. And it seems like now it doesn't even matter the personnel.
I do think they have another game against Memphis, right? Yeah, they go to Memphis one more time this year.
Do they?
I believe their second-to-last road trip of the season is a Charlotte-Memphis 2-game road trip.
Okay.
Because I think this is their last road trip of 3 or more games. And then they have a game at Charlotte, they have a game at Memphis, and then they finish up in Denver.
Okay.
They've got a ton more home games, but their road schedule is not.
See, and that's the other thing. You have a lot more home games. You know, they've been really good at home.
I think they've won 6 straight at home, and it's just, for some whatever reason it is, this team plays well at Target Center. I think they've got the 5th most wins in the Western Conference at home.
That's astonishing for a team that is not going to make the playoffs.
Sitting at 32-35.
Yeah.
I think they've won 22 games at home, I want to say. They've been a very good home team. They just can't find a way to win. They can't find a way to win away from Target Center.
Which has been the story of the franchise for basically 30 years.
Sure. Well, that and not being able to play defense. So we're going to do one sim of the draft lottery today. I did that. The Wolves did not move up to 13th, which should shock all of you. They stayed at 13th. Chicago won it, followed by Dallas, New York, Phoenix, Cleveland, Atlanta, and then the rest is set.
Okay, I have Tankathon up right now. Am I allowed
to
do a sim?
You can do your sim.
Am I do one sim?
Yep.
We get one sim per episode?
One sim per episode of Show of Hands.
All right. And here we go. Yeah, they didn't move either.
Who'd you have winning it?
Chicago.
Oh, Twins.
And you want to guess who I have number 2?
Dallas.
Nope.
The Lakers?
The Lakers.
How great would it be just to see the uproar of the Lakers getting picked in the top 4? Because you know that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know that's coming.
Here's what's funny
about Bill Simmons is going to be in tears on the Ringer, whatever show they're going to do on lottery night. Bill Simmons will actually cry. He'll cry if the Lakers are up there or if Cleveland wins it.
I feel like we'd get like a massive Twitter rant, too, from Bill Simmons.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be great. Here's what always cracks me up, though, about the lottery is you could almost take any team that's slated to be in the lottery right now and have them win the number one pick, and somebody could concoct a conspiracy theory on how the lottery is fixed.
All right, I want to hear your conspiracy theories. What's yours for Chicago, since they won both our Sims?
Chicago.
You're already striking out.
I know, I'm already striking out. But you know somebody could figure one out.
Sure.
Though. There are
a few that I would believe.
Okay.
I would believe Dallas, because you want Zion next to Luka. The NBA would love to have another star there. Like, that becomes, in 2 years, a championship contending team.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, because Cleveland does not lose draft lotteries.
They always win the lottery, yep.
Always. Undefeated, never lost. The Knicks, because it's New York,
the Knicks,
and they're going to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and that's going to be the center of the NBA world.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers, the Pelicans.
Yep.
Because if the Pelicans win the lottery, it makes the Anthony Davis saga that much more interesting. What happens then? Does Anthony Davis maybe reconsider if they've got Zion coming in? Maybe a little bit.
And the Pelicans won the lottery after they traded Chris Paul,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's how they ended up with AD.
Yep. Those are the ones that I could see a conspiracy for. Can't really see one for Atlanta or Phoenix. The Wizards, no. Memphis, no.
Orlando, they've won their share.
I can't see. There's no conspiracy theory for them, though. Like, winning your fair share of lotteries is one thing, unless you're the Cavs. because the Cavs are just ridiculous. Actually, you know what my favorite scenario might be? It won't happen. Aside from Dallas winning the lottery and pairing Zion and Luka and Kristaps, the Kings pick winning the lottery would be my favorite. Because if that pick lands 2 through 30, it goes to Boston. If it's number 1 overall, it goes to Philadelphia.
So the Kings don't get the pick at all.
The Kings don't get their pick. The Kings' pick will be either Boston's or Philadelphia's. If it's number 1 overall, it goes to Philly. If it's anywhere else, it goes to Boston.
Could you imagine?
Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Zion Williamson. Could you imagine that team?
Who's coming off the bench in that lineup?
J.J. Redick.
Probably J.J. Redick.
And Boban.
Oh, boy.
The Sixers would have the two heaviest guys in the NBA. Boban and Zion. Screw Bobby and Toby. Give me Boban and Zion reality show. That's what I want to watch.
That would be something. So the Celtics, if it's not number 1, the Celtics get it regardless.
Yes. The Celtics get it 2 through 30.
Wow. How did that come about?
That was it originally was Philadelphia's. I forget how Philadelphia got it, but then I believe Philadelphia sent this to Boston for the Fultz trade. Fultz.
Okay.
Yes, I believe that's what it is.
So it's top 1 protected, basically.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's incredible. Wow.
And if that wins, Elton Brand's done a fine job, but he has to resign and Sam Hinkie gets the job back. Those are the rules. Those have to be the rules.
Do you think Sam Hinkie will get another job in the NBA?
I would love to see him get a job.
He should.
It worked in Philadelphia. I don't care what you've said. I mean, that's a team that won, 52 games last year?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to win 50 games again this year? They probably will win 50 games again. They're 42-25 right now. They'll probably win 50 games back-to-back years.
Yeah.
They built assets. They were able to trade for Jimmy Butler, for Tobias Harris, after drafting Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. That worked. Whether or not they get a championship is up, we'll see in the coming years with that core. But it worked. What his plan absolutely worked. I'd like to see him in the NBA again. I really would. I think that he deserves it. He was, I think, wrongfully fired.
What do you think he would do here? And this is all speculation, obviously.
That's the point of this podcast.
Reckless speculation.
I think he would try and get rid of Wiggins. I think that he would try and do his best to get rid of Andrew Wiggins. I really do. And I want to talk it. I want to talk about Wiggins today. Because what did you think of Cade Bates-Diop this weekend? He got his first two career starts, second round draft pick, 48th overall. Played well. He had 18 points in Sunday night's win. I think he had 12 points on Saturday night. It was his first two games of his career in double figures. He played 30-plus minutes both nights. I think he had 36 minutes and 50 seconds on Saturday night and played 33 or 34 minutes on Sunday night. What did you think of his performance?
I think more than anything, to the point that you've made about him last week, I think he's done more than prove that he belongs in the NBA and that he deserves to be on a roster. Whether it's here or not long term, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But I liked what I saw.
I did too. You know what stuck out to me most was, well, one, that Euro step he had Saturday night in transition.
Great.
That was amazing.
That was fantastic.
Awesome.
I loved it. Yeah.
But also, he doesn't need the ball to be successful. And there are a lot of guys, and Ryan Saunders talked about this after Sunday night's game. There are a lot of guys at that small forward position in the NBA that are high usage guys. And with good reason, because if you look across the league, there are a ton of stars that play that position. LeBron's a small forward, very high usage. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, you can just name a bunch of guys that are high usage small forwards. And it makes sense for them to be high usage. The Wolves have a high usage small forward, but it doesn't make sense for him to be high usage.
No, it doesn't.
Cade Bates-Diop was low usage. Last night in Sunday night's game, he had the third lowest usage rate of any player that played 17 minutes or more. I forget what it was, but it was the third lowest if you go look at the advanced box score against the Knicks. Scored the third most points. Doesn't need the ball to be successful. He doesn't need to over dribble. He can dribble in transition. Like, he can run the break. He can do all those things, but his game's not predicated on that. He doesn't need to iso. I think he ISO'd once or twice in that game on Sunday, and they both came in garbage time when he was playing with C.J. Williams and Jared Terrell. Like, they were winding out the clock, but there just weren't enough healthy guys for him to not be on the court at that point. Like, they just needed him to finish the game out. And that really stuck out to me, is that Ryan brought it up, because I asked him about Cade's development and just how big last night and really two nights in a row is, not only for the team, but for him personally. And he said that Cade is another guy who's efficient. The thing that you have to like about him is that he's a low usage player. And this is from Saunders last night. And at that small forward position, there's a number of obviously stars at the small forward spot, but there's a lot of really good teams who have low usage guys in that role that are active cutters, good defenders. They can make an open three, things like that. Seeing him start to fill that kind of role for us, I think, is something to be excited about. Ryan's not going to say a bad word about Andrew. He's just not going to do it. It's not the way he's wired.
Right.
And truthfully, a head coach shouldn't say bad words, not like cuss words, but like ill-advised words about his player to the media. Like, that's stuff that should be handled behind closed doors. So I understand Ryan there. But this is kind of subliminal. About, because Andrew's the opposite of that, and he hasn't been successful at all. To see a guy that was the 48th overall draft pick, I mean, what, coming into this season, did you have higher expectations for Cade Bates-Diop or Lou Alding?
I mean, I didn't have high expectations for either one of them, to be honest with you.
Exactly. And both of them have looked better in that spot than Andrew Wiggins.
Beyond exceeded my expectations,
yes. They both looked far better in that spot than Andrew Wiggins. Like, it has not been close. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Is that, and it's not that he's just not good. It's that he's high usage and bad. If you're low usage and kind of crappy, okay. Like, teams can live with that. There are a ton of bad low usage players in the NBA. The league is filled with them.
But is there a way to make Andrew Wiggins, he's obviously not an effective high usage player. Is there a way to make him effective by lowering his usage? Is there a way to make him more effective?
I'm glad you asked about that, because I wrote about it last week. You could stick him in the left corner and let him shoot threes from the one spot on the floor he's actually really good. He's really good along the left baseline, both mid-range, just outside the paint, and behind the three-point arc. That is his ideal spot on the floor. He shoots, I think he's 20 of 34 from the left corner on threes this year, which is not a large sample size by any means, but it's it's a good enough once to see, oh, you can actually do this. Why don't you do it more? Like, you should have far more attempts there. I think that's like 3.1% of his shot distribution comes from that spot, and that number should be far higher. Like, he would be a better basketball player if he just stood in the corner and shot threes, which is not ideal for someone that you're paying $25 million a year.
Hey, Andrew, we're going to find a way to make you better. We're going to have you do less.
You know what? That's the only option.
It is the only option, but it's just funny that that's probably the way that they have to go.
And I don't see that happening, which is unfortunate. I don't see that being the case. And kind of running out of ways to see him be successful. Like, if it's not that, what is it?
You see why I'm speechless.
I know why you're speechless. Because you've been watching it longer than I have.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Andrew, all of the flaws that Andrew has now, and there are plenty.
Oh, yes.
When he's a rookie, when he's in his second year in the league.
Those flaws are okay.
The flaws are okay.
When you're 19, you're supposed to have flaws.
When you're 19 or 20 and you're on a team that's not expected to contend, the expectations are low. And
you know what? Not all rookies come in looking like LeBron or Luka or guys that just get
Durant
it right away.
Or, yeah.
Like, even look how good Trae Young has gotten throughout the last 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And look how bad he was the first 3 months of the season. Trae Young was not a good basketball player the first month of the season. Yeah, it took some time to adjust, but he's been great since he kind of found his footing. So I understand guys that are constant. And at some point, the league adapts to you and you have to adapt back. Like, those things happen. And Andrew just never really adapted.
No. And I remember his third year in the league was Tibbs' first year. And that was probably the best season he's had of his career. And even then, you could see the flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But you looked at it and you said, okay, well, 45% from the floor, not great, but that's all right. And 23 points a game. And
you know, maybe he can make a leap next year.
Yeah, maybe he can make a leap. And, oh, Jimmy Butler's coming in now. They made the trade, and Jimmy's going to help him. And
you can speak better to this than I can, but after that season, was the hope he was going to make the leap that Carl has made this year?
Yeah.
And it never happened.
It never happened.
And it's never going to happen.
I mean, after 5 years in the league, it's not going to happen.
At this point, you are who you are, truthfully. Yeah.
And all of this talk, I know there are people that still want to throw out, well, he's only 24. I mean, look around the rest of the league and seeing and look at what other guys are doing around the league at 24 years old. Look at what Karl Anthony Towns is doing at 23.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's also a difference between being 24 years old and playing in almost 400 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has played 386 games in his career. He's not still developing. It's past that time. I think it's a tough thing to do this summer, but you have to look into dealing him. No matter who you are as general manager that comes mm-hmm. in, and I know it sounds like a foregone conclusion, Scott Layden won't be back, but that's how I feel personally. That's not sourced information. That's just the feeling I get, is that Scott Layden's not going to be back. You have to look into dealing Andrew Wiggins.
Would you move a first for him if it's protected?
You have to protect it. You have to lottery protect it. But yeah, I would move
this summer. You'd do it if you could.
Like, moving the 2020 first lottery protected.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. If you can find someone to take him away, 100%. I don't.
But who does
I don't know
that,
who
though.
Takes him.
Who
That's
does that?
The problem.
That's who takes the contract,
especially for only one. Because, and here's the problem with Andrew's. The way his timeline lines up, a lot of teams that will take on bad contract in exchange for getting a pick with it are in rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. If you look at teams like the Cavaliers, like the Suns, those teams will do it. But Wiggins's contract is so long, by the end of it, when it comes off the books, they're hoping to already be 1 or 2 years into their competitive window.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is you don't have teams that are
looking
to take on money. Some are looking to take on money for this year and next year, but no one's looking to take on money until 2023.
And that's why it goes back to the point I made last week about, is the better play to just try and endure this thing for two more years, because you figure teams 2 years from now, and we don't know what the league's going to look like 2 years from now. We don't know who's going to be rebuilding. We don't know who's going to be in what situation. But 2 years from now, there might be a team that says, okay, we'll take a flyer in Andrew Wiggins for a first-round pick because there's 2 years left on that contract instead of four like there would be this summer.
Honestly, thinking about this, your best bet might be for Memphis's pick to convey this year. If Memphis sends that pick to Boston and they really hit that hard reset button on that rebuild, that could be the one spot where they could say, okay, we're probably 4 or 5 years away. We like Jaren Jackson, but we need more pieces. If we can get a pick, we'll take Andrew. That could be the one spot it could happen. Maybe.
Maybe.
But I don't even know about that.
Yeah. So it would be, you'd probably have to, like getting Chandler Parsons or something, getting his contract
back.
Yeah,
you'd have to take Chandler Parsons back, no question.
And but he's just got the one year left.
Which is fine. Next year. Yeah. Which is fine, because that sets you up in a couple years.
You're getting 3 years off of that,
yes,
off of that money.
That would be a huge win. All right. I want to get to our random Timberwolf of the show. Mm-hmm. This is going to be something that we're going to be doing on Show of Hands, where it's no secret that Manny Hill has extensive random knowledge, right? That's no secret to anybody. You know every single...
relatively extensive.
You know every single Super Bowl MVP. You know where every Super Bowl was played. You know who won all of them. You even know who won Super Bowl 54, which hasn't happened yet. So... for
the Cleveland
our,
Browns.
Yes, you're damn right.
I'm just pandering to my podcast partner here, that's all.
All right. The random Timberwolf of the day, and I picked this because he played in the last game that Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, that neither one of them were part of for the Wolves, is
okay, am I guessing who this guy is?
No, I'm going to tell you him, and you are going to tell me everything you know about his Wolves tenure, okay?
Okay.
So today's random Timberwolf of the day played 15 minutes and 53 seconds in the last game without Wiggins and Towns is Ronnie Turioff.
Ronnie Turioff. Okay. What do I know about his Wolves tenure? Actually, not a lot, because he didn't really play a whole lot. I just know that he was a part of those Laker teams that were really good with Kobe and all that. He was kind of a rotation big guy, and he got a lot of DMP CDs.
Yes,
he got a lot of those.
So in 2013-2014 he played 31 games with the Wolves, got 10 starts, and then the next season he played in 2 games. I'm not sure. I don't think he was on the roster that whole season.
Gosh, he was. Why was I thinking that he was here? How long was he with the Wolves?
He signed as a free agent July 18th of 2013. And December.
So Flip signed him.
December 19th, 2014, he was part of a 3-team trade. The Wolves traded him to Philly. And they, the Wolves also, that was part of the Corey Brewer to Houston trade.
Yeah.
So who did the Wolves get there?
Troy Daniels?
Troy Daniels. Yes, Troy Daniels, Brewer. A second round pick, which turned out to be Rakeem Christmas, was sent to the Wolves. Yeah.
And Troy Daniels then only ended up playing like half the season for the Wolves, if even that much.
Corey
Brewer. Because he ended up in Charlotte somehow, I think.
Corey Brewer and Alexi Shved to the Houston Rockets.
Alexi Shved.
That was, then he was,
boy.
Turioff was waived 4 days later by the Sixers. And that was the end of his career.
I don't know why I seem to remember him playing here later than that. So that was almost 6 years ago when Flip signed him. Okay.
Yes, he is our random
Ronnie Turioff, man.
Today.
Wow.
What a guy.
He was quite the guy. Good locker room guy. Apparently a lot of people liked him from what I understood. Like he was.
I could believe that.
A lot of people got along with him, and he's a really good dude.
I could believe that. All right. Well, this was our first episode of Show of Hands. Mm-hmm. So shout out to David Kahn for the inspiration. We really appreciate it more than he'll ever know.
I don't know. Show of Hands. Show of Hands.
This will be found on the Score North Wolves podcast feed. Remember to go on that feed, rate, review us, give us 5 stars. Give me suggestions for random Timberwolves to throw out to Manny. He won't look at the comments, I promise, but I will. So make sure you do that. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate it. This was episode 1. Can't wait for episode 2 of Show of Hands to come next week with Manny Hill and myself, Danny Cunningham. Thanks again.